Hello, everybody.
Hello.
How are you guys doing? I am Rich Liebig.
And I am Michael Costanzo.
And you are listening to the second episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Woo, yeah.
Woo. Yeah, this is...
We made it to number two, guys.
Yeah. Coming back for a sequel.
Yeah.
How are you doing, Mike?
I'm doing pretty good, Rich. How are you?
Doing pretty good, myself. We got a pretty... jam-packed show for you today.
Lots of great stuff for you guys.
Yeah, and we did a little bit of reviewing what we did in the first episode, things that we thought we did really good on, things that we improved upon, and plus we used your feedback to gather what worked, what didn't, and I think it's going to work out better.
Do you want to explain the revamped structure of the show, or?
Well, I mean, it's not all that different. It's just that we're going to have funny names.
Yes.
For each segment of
the
show.
We're going with the crispy noodle theme of a meal.
Yeah. This was a good idea. You came up with this idea.
It was me and my brother John Bruno also contributed one of the names for one of the segments.
Bruno came up with a good idea.
Yeah.
Him in his dark corner.
Yes.
The dark, silent corner of the crispy noodle area.
Came up with this good idea that we should name each part of the show... Part of a meal. Should we go through them when we hit them, or should I get them all at once?
Let's just surprise them.
You surprise them?
Surprise them, yeah.
All right, we're going to surprise you guys then.
All right. All right, we're going to kick things off, as with any good meal, with a sampler dish.
Yep. And so we figured that we would use the sports portion of our show to do the sports sampler.
We love alliteration.
That's all, yep. Mike definitely loves that.
Yes.
All right, and for our first little treat,
in the sports sampler, I figured we'd talk a little bit about some NFL rumors during this time of free agency.
NFL's at the Combine this week, evaluating the new draft of players coming into the league.
Right.
Is there... didn't you say there was a specific story you wanted to mention about this?
Well, one of the big pieces of news is that one of the most underrated running backs in the league right now, the Rams' Steven Jackson, is going to void the final year of his contract and become a free agent.
That's huge.
Yeah, he's always one of the most underrated running backs. I mean, just the caption here on his picture says he has 13,459 yards from scrimmage.
From scrimmage?
Yes, from scrimmage.
Wow.
He's going to be 30, but he hasn't really shown a decline. I mean, he's been injured a couple times, but I mean, I think...
he's a running back.
Yeah. But I think a team could get a lot of good use out of him.
Yeah, I mean...
at least for a year or two.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we had, LaDainian Tomlinson?
Yeah.
He was
at the end of his career,
yeah,
quote
the Chargers.
Unquote.
The Chargers thought he was done with, and then the Jets pick him up and use him as a relatively reliable backup, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, it's not always that 30... You know, 30 is definitely marks... A point of no return for
right.
running backs, but well, it's not the end
any...
all
oh,
be all. It's not the end all be all of a running back's career.
Right. Of course, it's not going to work now.
Yeah. Just when I have the perfect clip for this. No, what am I going to do without my sound clips? I think one of the cords isn't connect. Is coming out weird.
Try a different one.
Damn it.
This will all get edited out.
No, yeah, this, yeah.
That's so weird. I mean, it's just a simple headphone jack, you figure.
Yeah.
Is it this one? Wait. Did you hear that?
And there's a lot of letters in LaDainian Tomlinson.
I thought you would like that clip, Mike.
Yeah. I don't know what it has to do with Steven Jackson, but there are
to do with LaDainian Tomlinson.
Yes. There are a lot of letters in his name. Steven Jackson has less letters. That could be considered a benefit for some teams.
Yes,
so,
it could be.
Boom, 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 boom. They just ran right at him. Yeah, he not only rambled, but he rumbled and stumbled.
I love John Madden.
Yes, you can't go wrong with John Madden quotes, especially about running backs.
Yeah. That was incredible. But
okay, but going back.
On to actual commentary, though. Steven Jackson has eclipsed 1,000 rushing yards 8 times in his career. And has... gained 10,135 rushing yards and 56 rushing touchdowns, but he has 13,459 total yards from scrimmage.
Wow.
Yeah. So he could definitely be of use to some teams.
Yeah. You know, and he's not, yeah, 30's not that, not that bad.
He can, yeah. Another 2 years.
He's probably not going to be able to be a starter, but.
No, he'll split the load with some up-and-coming running back that, yeah, that needs some mentorship and stuff. The reason why he's going to try and, well, he's going to be a free agent, he's voiding his last year, is because he's, they would have owed him $8 million in the final year of his, or $7 million, sorry, in the final year of his contract.
Yeah, that would be a lot. That would be a lot to take.
Yeah, no team is going to pay that. Obviously, the St. Louis Rams don't want to pay that.
No. No, thank you.
Yeah. But there's some other free agency news. As you know, the Eagles, being local, they released Cullen Jenkins, one of the big free agent signings from the quote-unquote dream team.
Yeah, the Eagles went to town on anybody who they thought wasn't producing on the defense, which they should.
Yeah.
They should.
There's rumors of restructuring Nnamdi Asomugha's contract.
Oh, and, they definitely show with him. He keeps getting burned deep.
Yeah, either he cuts like 75% of his pay or they're going
to
cut him.
Yeah, it's going to get to that point.
So, do you think that there could be like a fire sale going on with the Eagles? Like teams are just going to start swooping in and snatching up free agents as we cut them, as we try and rebuild?
Well, that's what usually happens when a team wants to start from scratch.
Because yeah, they have a lot of extra weight on that team. They got rid of Patterson and Jenkins, and Asomugha might be next. DRC, we don't know what they're going to do with him.
Yeah, you know, especially
in Vic. We don't know about Vic. They seem like they want to keep him, but
well, Vic, they restructured his deal to the 1 year.
Right. Yeah. Well, there's no
the one year trial and error.
Yeah.
This is your last shot, Vic.
They could trade him now that his deal is restructured. A team might be more prone to picking up a smaller contract.
Yeah, if they want to.
If I were the Eagles, I would just get rid of everyone. Well,
yeah, everyone.
Maybe not everyone. Maybe
let's go with the Philadelphia garbage kicker thing.
And, oh, from that movie.
Yeah, with Tony Danza.
Oh, that's
and
right.
And let's hire a whole bunch of garbage men. And I'm sure they'll play better than 4-12 from last year.
Do you have the garbage day clip?
No, I don't. Well, I'll bring that in.
Notes for after the show.
Yeah, I'll bring that in later.
there are some interesting rumors floating about with another big name player, Darrell Revis.
Ooh, tell me about this.
Darrell Revis. I don't know if you've been following the story. But ever since the New York Jets got a new general manager, they just haven't been clear as to whether or not they want to keep Revis, or are they going to want to trade him.
What's the problem? Is it salary? Because he's the number one corner in the league.
He's in the last year of his contract.
Right.
And the Jets need to clear up some room. They're like I think they actually are the worst team when it comes to salary cap.
Why don't they try dumping one of the high profile quarterbacks they have?
Yeah, you think?
I mean, I'm just saying.
Well, yeah, they're gonna dump Tebow. Tebow's gone. Yeah, Tebow's good as gone.
What was the point of that experiment?
I don't know.
Anyway.
They thought they could use him on the punt return, on the punting, and the.
That's just weird.
Yeah, that went nowhere.
But they got to keep Revis.
Yeah, they should.
They have to.
They should, and it's not even his fault. He got injured last year. That's why he didn't. You know,
when you compare him to other quote unquote top corners, okay, other top corners like Nnamdi Asomugha and DRC. And some of the other high-profile ones.
Assuming direct control.
Yes.
All right, there we go. Yep, sorry about that, Mike. Had a little bit of a soundboard mishap there.
That's all right.
Assuming direct control.
Sometimes.
Maybe. Do you think the Reapers are invading the machine right now?
I think so. The number of technical difficulties we've had today.
Assuming direct control.
Get out of our equipment, Harbinger.
That's great.
We don't want you here.
Yeah, we don't need we don't need anybody from Mass Effect here.
Assuming direct control. All
right.
I'm Commander Shepard, and you're my least favorite Reaper on the Citadel.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel.
You made that a thing! Thank you!
Yeah, I couldn't resist when I was editing the podcast last week. I made a clip of you. I hope you're happy.
I'm a soundboard clip.
Yes, you've made it. You are now a soundboard clip.
I've hit the big time. Everybody, I will see you in a couple years. I'm heading out to Hollywood now that I've made it big.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel.
I'm just so happy right now.
Folks, you got to see. I don't know. I, I,
If our cameraman John Bruno were here,
yeah, if Bruno was here, you would see how red Mike is. Like,
I'm so excited right now.
So excited right now that I just made him a sound clip.
I'm a soundboard clip.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel.
There you go. All right. Now, boy, we want this is you know what? But this is the nature of the crispy noodle. This is why we do the podcast like this. We might go off on a random topic, but you know that's just the nature of the crispy noodle.
It's all because we're the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life.
We don't know what sound clips are going to happen. We don't know if the mixer is going to rebel against us.
Assuming direct control.
And
you're just munching on your mixed greens, and then all of a sudden, oh my gosh, there's a crispy noodle.
Yep, that's what this show is.
It's a pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we just, you know, we're here to present that to you. So, all right.
Back on track. Where were we and where are we going?
All right. So we were...
Now we're just completely derailed.
Yeah, we are. All right.
So it's anyway, a bad...
After the Reapers took control over our mixer board.
We were talking about Darrell Revis, how there was a rumor.
Right.
How there's rumors, that teams want him. You know, that the Jets will be trying to shop him around, see if there's any trade interest during the combine this week.
Well, they could get a lot for him. The question is, can you get something that will be of equal value to Darrell Revis? I mean, he brings so much to the team right now.
The problem is really that the Jets' worries are going to become everybody else's worries when they trade him. I mean, I know he was out last year because of injury, but some teams will use that as a way to decrease his value on the trade market.
Okay, but how many times have players come back from injury and shown that they can play at a high level? Think about T.O. went to Cincinnati that one year and he played great.
Yeah, a lot of players usually do.
Even this past year, D'Amico Ryans for the Philadelphia Eagles. They said, oh, he can't play anymore. He got injured, and that's why the Texans wanted to get rid of him. And he came in here, and now our defense wasn't great, but I'd say he was one of the few bright spots of it.
Yeah, a lot of people use that as an excuse.
Well,
do
you remember Brian Dawkins, probably one of the top five safeties to ever play the game?
Do I? Brian Dawkins.
I mean, how could you forget? We got rid of him, you know, 13 years into his career. He was, 36?
Yeah, he was up there.
That is ancient for the NFL. That is like Methuselah old.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look at the brain on Mike.
Look at the big brain on Brett.
I'm glad you got that.
What ain't country I ever heard of? Pulp Fiction, watch
it. Big Kahuna Burger.
That is a tasty burger.
All right.
Okay, that's enough. I forget. Yeah, so he was really old, and then he played 3 years with the Broncos. He made the Pro Bowl twice.
Yeah.
At 37 and 38.
Yeah.
And he was injured the year, what was it, the year or 2 years before we got rid of him?
Yeah, it happened. It's not necessarily that you're injured and you're doomed, but for teams, especially for trading purposes, when you have to deduce a player's worth, other teams are going to use that against your value.
They're going to say, well, he's not worth a first-round pick now.
Right.
He's worth a second.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
If they're seriously...
I'd be shocked if they got a first-round for him.
Yeah, if they're seriously going to chop around Revis, that's going to happen. They're not going to get a first-round pick out of him.
Yeah, because everybody that's not the Jets is going to play up the fact that he was injured.
Yeah. And he's in the last year of his contract, which is huge.
They're going to have to re-sign him. They're going to go, we have to give him a $50 million contract or whatever. It's going to be tough. They should keep him. He's one of the best players they have.
Yeah, to me, it's not a loss if they have to keep him. Resign him. Resign him to another contract.
Yeah, work with him. You know,
You know, I mean, the Jets are really bad right now in salary cap. I don't know if you've seen the.
No, what are the figures?
I believe there's something like $10 million off of the salary cap.
Wow.
Yeah, they need the. They got to start cutting.
Well, they'll unload Tebow. So how much will he free up? Probably not much.
Not much. Because it's only 1 year of the contract that he was guaranteed.
Right.
So, he'll free up a little bit, but not a whole lot.
They probably don't want to get rid of Mark Sanchez, but how much would he free up? Probably quite a bit, because is he still on the big rookie contract?
Yeah, he's still on that massive contract. And a matter of fact, in an interesting note, if you really want to get weird, you need to get ready for this.
Okay.
What's that?
Tom Brady just restructured his contract
because
he's getting old.
Right.
And the Patriots essentially told him, if you want to play on the Patriots until you're 40, you need to restructure your contract.
Until he's 40?
Yeah. Tom Brady wants to play until he can be 40. Until 40. He wants to play.
He's going to Brett Favre it.
Yeah, he wants to Brett Favre it.
Brett Favre.
Brett Favre. Yes. Yes, he does.
Brett Favre is one of those guys that when he's hot, he can really be hot. Brett Favre throws as well as anyone. He throws better than anyone. What the heck am I talking about? He's the darndest guy I've ever seen. He can pick up a baseball with his foot.
Thank you, John Madden.
Brett Favre. I love Brett Favre.
Yep. Thank you, John Madden.
Half of all plays in football are 80% mental.
Yes.
Boom, 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 boom. They just ran right at him. Yeah, he not only rambled, but he rumbled and stumbled.
Like he did through that broadcast.
Yes.
Like we're doing.
Yeah, like we're doing through this one. Okay, but anyway, Tom Brady had to restructure his contract. The Patriots made him. So he's getting 3 years for $27 million, right?
Oh, boo-hoo.
So his first year, because of the pay scale, it goes your shortest amount is paid
right.
The first year, and then you build your way up.
Like right.
The last year of your contract is always your most, right? He will, in 2013-2014 season,
yeah.
Unless there's changes made to Mark Sanchez will get paid more this year than Tom Brady.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, the Jets need to do something about this.
Yeah, they really do. I can't justify paying anybody more than Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Let alone Mark Sanchez.
Yeah.
There was also a great image online the other day that was something like, it showed Braylon Edwards, and he said, I'm the second best receiver that the Jets have. And then just shows you a picture of grass. It's like, and this is the first, and this is the top wide receiver.
It catches every pass thrown its way.
Yeah, that's right. Poor Mark Sanchez. He's
going to get crapped on this whole yeah. upcoming season if the Jets don't do anything. He's you thought the pressure with Tebow coming in was bad.
It's just seemed like one misstep after another for him.
For that whole Jets organization.
I mean, they made the championship round, like, what was it, 2 years in a row?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, we're
talking about a team that was in the title hunt. They
had one of the best defenses.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it just, I don't know whether it's Rex Ryan's coaching style, maybe. Maybe it's too lackadaisical. Maybe, I don't know what it is, lack of cohesion.
Oh, it just, they've been making wrong move after wrong move.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
So anyway, Revis might be on the market if your team is interested.
I don't think it's going to happen, but.
I mean, you know, we'll see. Yeah. There is a stimulus for the Jets to move Revis because they need to figure out something with their salary cap. We're talking way over. They could be in trouble.
Yeah.
Is there any other rumors or anything else about the combine? Anything this week?
No, I think that's pretty much all the news, all the NFL news there is for the sports segment.
Okay, after that,
yes.
technological disruption.
We are back up and running smoothly.
First we had the Reapers.
Assuming direct control.
And then we had John Madden.
And there's a lot of letters in LaDainian Tomlinson.
I mean, just go, and then of course, debuting Mike's new sound clip.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel.
Yes.
There you
the
go.
The highlight of the show. That's all you need to know about
it. You know what? I think it's all John Madden's fault. The moment, the first mention.
Curse you, Madden.
Did you notice that?
Yeah.
The first time we mentioned John Madden on this podcast, boom, everything goes to crap.
Boom, tough acting, ten acting.
Boom, 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 boom. They just ran right at him. Yeah, he not only rambled, but he rumbled and stumbled. That was a heck of an effort, and that puts him in third and manageable, and now he has to manage it.
Third and manageable, and now he has to manage it.
Yep, there you go. It's all John Madden's fault.
We have to manage.
Is that going to be the new term of measurement?
Yeah,
it's third and a lot of yards.
We don't need those guys on the sideline.
It's fourth and manageable. It's first and normal. First, I mean, what is it?
It's first and normal.
First and normal.
Well, that was a great play. It'll be first and normal.
I want to see that. You know, it could get more casual fans involved. It'll let them know this is really long,
yeah.
But that's normal.
Yeah, people who are afraid of numbers, they won't be afraid of
first and normal.
Anymore.
That was a heck of an effort, and that puts him in third and manageable, and now he has to manage it.
There you go. Third and manageable.
All right.
All right. So do you want to get to the next part of our sports sampler?
Yes.
Before
let's
anything
move on.
Else breaks on us?
Yeah.
Okay, go.
Oh, me again?
Oh, I thought. Yeah, I thought.
No. This was your story.
Do
no.
Do you
assuming direct control.
What is wrong with us?
Yeah, we're off our game today. Sorry.
Oh no, it is me.
Yes, that's Isn't what I it? Thought.
Okay. All right.
The answer is yes. You son of a bitch.
Oh my god. Yes, we're. I'm just losing it now.
Poor Mike.
Okay, so the next story is
by God, what the hell's going on tonight?
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you for bailing me out of that. Our next story is about I lost the actual news story, but I have some handwritten notes here. Dennis Rodman is going to North Korea.
Dennis Rodman?
Yes.
What rock did he just crawl out from under? Dennis Rodman.
Yeah, he's going to North Korea. He's going with a couple of Globetrotters.
Wow.
To do a news show about North Korea for HBO.
Hmm.
But the other reason they're going there is to, as he put it, engage in basketball diplomacy.
Dennis Rodman, Secretary of State?
Yes.
What the hell is he talking about?
I guess his hope is to bring, you know, different nations and peoples together through the universal language of sports.
Okay, I don't know why. I mean, I understand if he wants to travel with the Globetrotters, and if he's still got skills, that's cool. He can show him off with the Globetrotters, but I don't understand how he thinks that this is going to convert into some sort of diplomatic message.
Well, I mean, not necessarily a diplomatic message, just let me try and find some of the quotes here.
Okay.
You know, they say, you know, finding common ground on the basketball court is a beautiful thing. They're running a basketball camp for children and playing with North Korea's top basketball stars, which I can't imagine are very good. Not to be offensive to North Koreans, but I mean, they're just discovering about the outside world. Now I'm being really bad.
Yeah, Mike, what are you doing?
Let's take some of the heat off of me. Let's go with this quote right here. When shown a photo of a snarling Rodman, piercings dangling from his lower lip and two massive tattoos emblazoned on his chest, one North Korean in Pyongyang recoiled and said, "He looks like a monster."
Aw.
Yeah.
They're not willing to accept Dennis Rodman for his tattoos.
No, no, they're not. But I just went, when I came across the story, I said, wow, that's really weird.
Yeah, I mean,
but,
yeah,
what do you think about it?
Just, I don't, I mean, if he wants to join the Harlem Globetrotters, that's great. If, you know,
well, he's not joining them. He's just there with them.
But
with,
like,
yeah, with three members of the Globetrotters and a Vice correspondent for a new show on North Korea that will air on HBO later this year.
But like, I don't know what happens after this. Like, what does? Sounds like he's doing. You know, it sounds like he wants to be in politics or something. Like, trying to do basketball diplomacy.
Well, I mean, that's just the little catchphrase they gave to it.
that's what it's all about. All the catchphrases.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're trying to build relations with them so they don't go nuclear on everyone. We sent Google's CEO. Eric Schmidt, I believe. Yeah. Oh, Executive Chairman Eric Schmidt to North Korea earlier this year.
Oh.
So it's all about relation building, I guess.
Okay. Just to show that we're...
And a non-threatening way, I guess, is to do that through sports.
Yeah, through sports, technology. All right. Yeah. I can see the case for it now.
Yeah. It's just the idea of Dennis Rodman just struck me
out
as...
Yeah, of all the people, why Dennis Rodman?
I mean, clearly, you know, when the North Korean citizens say, he looks like a monster... Exclamation point.
Yeah, I don't think Dennis Rodman would have been the best choice as a representative of America to send over, but, you know, you can still run with it.
Yeah, you know.
At least Dennis Rodman isn't trying to be, like, the president or something. And
right. No, I don't think he has any political aspirations.
President Rodman.
President Rodman.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I'd imagine he'd be on the Democratic ticket. And his vice president could be Scottie Pippen. And
there you go. Yeah, there you go. It all works out.
Yeah. So, there you go. I'll play this.
I am Ric Flair, the President of the United States.
What was that bird noise?
Wait, you gotta hear the whole thing.
I am Ric Flair, the President of the United States.
No.
WCW.
What was that bird noise? I can't get over it. It was like,
it's in the sound clip.
I am Ric Flair, the President of the United States.
No. WCW.
There you go.
Wow.
Ow!
Was it ow or was it a bird?
I don't know. It was just like, ow!
It was weird.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
We're having a very weird show.
Yeah, I'm still a little lost.
It was Harbinger.
Yes, that's what it is.
From now on, anything that goes wrong, we're blaming it on Harbinger from Mass Effect.
I'm indoctrinated.
Yes, that's the problem.
All right. Well, I guess that pretty much wraps it up for sports,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, this crazy sports segment.
And of course, after the sampler, we move on to the entertainment entree.
Ah, yes.
All right.
Very good. I really like these choices of words.
Yeah. And you know, it gives us transitions that we didn't have last time.
Yeah, that's right. That was one of your big worries.
Because last time we just said, okay.
Yeah, okay, let's move on.
Let's move on. But now we have something to actually, we have sound clips, we have music, we have titles, so it's much more smooth now. Or
that's
smoother.
What you would think until the mixer board just crapped out on us and then nothing was working for the sound clips.
Yeah.
Assuming direct control.
So obviously the big news in entertainment is
the Oscars.
Yeah, the Oscars.
Woo. All right.
Alrighty then.
All right.
Hollywood.
Yeah.
Look at this pelican play. Come on, pelican.
Well, there were no pelicans at the Oscars or pelican movies, or it was devoid of all things. Although Silver Linings Playbook had to deal with the Eagles. That's a type of bird.
Yeah, there you go. So
connection.
Yes. High five.
Yes.
Woo!
I did it.
Yes. All right. So let's recap the Oscars.
Let's run down the Oscars. Yes.
Seth MacFarlane hosted the Oscars.
And nobody liked it.
I don't know why.
I liked it.
I thought it was pretty good. I was entertained.
As we're recording this, I'm debating about whether to publish an opinion piece about Seth MacFarlane to the blog.
You could.
To the website. Yeah, because everybody...
We have a section for serious articles.
And I just might do that because it annoys me that everyone's getting upset.
Yeah,
and
I don't know why.
Here's the thing. Hollywood is sheltered. And you might say, well, that's kind of contradictory. They're not sheltered because... They're engaged in so many illegal and unsavory activities. But no, they're sheltered. Because as soon as somebody says something about one of them, they have all their people, their entourage. Oh, no, it's okay, it's okay. You're great, I swear. They get people eating out of the palms of their hands.
Yes, men.
And yeah, exactly.
The answer is yes, you son of a bitch.
And so you get comedians like Ricky Gervais and Seth MacFarlane that kind of pick at their... insecurities, and all of a sudden the whole entertainment world is thrown into disarray.
Yeah. When Ricky Gervais did the Golden Globes, everyone was, you know, complaining that it was too rough and too offensive.
I
and then they invite him back for two more years. Yeah. So
I like it because it introduces a little bit of the real world into that phoniness of Hollywood.
Yeah.
You know, just a little bit.
You should be able to take a joke at yourself.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. The big complaint was the topless song, about how we saw your boobs in this show.
Yeah, we saw your boobs, though, or something like that.
Let's face it. One, they weren't being forced to do those scenes, right?
What do you mean?
The actresses, when they do those scenes, they're not being forced.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
They do it of their own accord.
I mean, yeah, no one's holding a gun to your head.
And nobody's complaining when they actually do it, so why are they complaining now that he's bringing it up? He's playing on the taboo subject of it. He's making people feel uncomfortable, but it's the truth.
Yeah, I don't understand why that was such a big deal.
It was funny. I thought it was funny because he's saying something that everybody's thinking. Whenever you see a celebrity, you go, oh, yeah, I remember Kate Winslet. I remember Titanic.
All right, Mike.
No, you know, I'm just saying.
Mike knows what he wants to see when he sees you.
People like to. Jesus, Rich. people like to pretend that people don't think like that, but they do. And Seth MacFarlane was just exaggerating that.
Yeah, he was exaggerating. It was funny for the song.
It was funny.
I don't think it was.
Get over it, people.
I don't think it was that bad.
It really wasn't.
You know, and then the whole song is him just listing.
Yeah.
When actresses showed their breasts.
That's, yeah.
So if he had stand out and not sung it, would that have? I don't know. Like, would that have been? I don't know. I didn't get it. I don't understand. Bottom line, I don't understand why it was overly offensive.
Yeah. Well, people want clean comedians. Like, my mom kept saying, oh, you know, nobody's as good as Billy Crystal. Okay, Billy Crystal's good, but he's tame.
Look, yeah. The jokes are a little racy. They are. They're yeah. a little bit racy.
Right.
But you hired Seth MacFarlane. Therefore, those are the jokes
exactly.
you should expect to receive.
Exactly. You don't hire somebody like Seth MacFarlane and say, don't talk about Jews and don't talk about nudity and don't talk about this. He's just going to laugh in your face and talk yeah. about it anyway.
Uh-huh. And from all the...
And they had the highest viewership in 3 years.
Wow. That's
so,
fun.
Clearly it sucked.
Yeah.
The bottom line is the money.
And so, the problem is, though, now Seth MacFarlane came out in a tweet yesterday that he's not going to... Even if the Oscars asked him to do it again, he said he wouldn't do it again. He said it was too much work.
Well, he nailed his coffin shut when he did the whole opening sketch about him being reviewed as the worst host ever.
I thought that was brilliant.
I thought it was brilliant too, but then when the reports come out and people say, oh, he was the worst host ever, it was almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah,
that's the point that I'm
making.
He's
in a win-win situation. He either did a good Oscar show or he predicted the future.
I don't know if I would call it win-win, but... No, I mean, he sealed his fate when he did that because, I don't know, it just, everyone's like, oh, well, yeah, you know.
I don't know. I thought it was a brilliant way to start the show.
I loved it.
And then a great way for him to get William Shatner, one of his
yeah.
longtime idols, to do a skit with him.
I thought it was really funny.
I mean, yeah, I thought it was, I certainly didn't think it was the most offensive.
But then again, they were targeting people in our demographic.
Maybe.
You know, I'm a fan of Family Guy, so, and Ted was amazing. Anything with Seth MacFarlane other than his Family Guy clones.
Yeah, the Family Guy clones.
It's the same setup.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
but
do you...
I thought it was
yeah.
pretty good.
It was good, yeah. yeah.
You know?
Oh, well, you know, it's just our opinions.
I think the bottom line is you hired Seth MacFarlane. You should yeah. have expected Seth MacFarlane jokes.
Yeah, what did you expect?
You know, just like you hired Ricky Gervais Golden Globes, you should have expected Ricky Gervais jokes.
Exactly.
Like, I don't know. To me, that sounds like sound logic, you know?
Yeah. We hired this guy and we got the type of jokes that he tells. Surprise, surprise.
Wow. who would have seen that coming?
Yeah. I bought a stove and it gets hot when I turn it on.
Unless it's in the jukebox.
Unless it's a jukebox. Oh, God. It's got a jukebox in it.
Yeah.
So, anyway, let's get down to brass tacks. Let's talk about some of the winners, the big winners.
Yeah, we got to mention this.
You said that you saw the movie that won Best Picture, Argo.
Yes, I did.
So, do you want to talk about that?
Oh, my gosh. That is such a great movie. If you have not seen Argo yet... You need to go. You just go see it. It won Best Picture for a reason, and it's getting all these awards, in the other award shows because it's good.
It seemed like it came out of nowhere. Like in the past couple of months, you started to hear it build up a little bit, and then all of a sudden it was everywhere.
Yeah. First of all, it's a very interesting story because parts of it are true. Actually, most of it is pretty true. They tried to stay as much as they could to the original reports that were filed by the CIA and that were declassified by President Clinton in the 90s. So a lot of it is based on reality, that things that actually occurred. Now, of course, the movie elements, you know, trying to add drama to a chase scene, you know, dragging
right.
it out and then making like a little test scene where they have to it's like their first run through of the guys of the hostages using their new identities. Can they pull it off? That stuff didn't happen. But that just enhances the movie.
Right.
That's the movie storing aspect that had to be added to this in order for it to be a complete movie-going experience that you want out of a Best Picture.
Right.
And yeah,
you can't just transplant something from history.
Yeah.
You have to spice it up a little bit. To give it that narrative arc.
Yeah. And it was good. I loved it. I
well, that's definitely on my must-watch list then.
And, you know, I'm going to embarrass her right now. But I took my girlfriend Amanda out to see it.
Yeah.
And I kid you not, she was literally on the edge of the seat the whole movie. She like, because it's the theater we went to was the folding
right
things that, yeah. that you know, fold out. And she is literally like on the edge of it. It looked like if she had leaned an inch forward, she would have fell down and the seat would have popped up. That's how far she was leaning on her seat.
Wow.
It was that, and it got, it does, it gets that dramatic.
And wow. Yeah. See, now that makes me want to see it more.
Yeah. It was really good. And it definitely, I accept it. It should have won Best Picture. And I still don't know why Ben Affleck was not named for Best Director.
Because they hate him.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know why.
You know, but I just realized this. I have a long history with them not agreeing with their Best Director choices.
Yeah.
Inception in 2010, they didn't nominate.
Yeah, they didn't even nominate him.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people don't like Inception. I don't know why. I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's the people that don't want to think in a movie.
It's, yeah, because you have to go into the philosophy of it.
Yeah.
You have to go into the philosophy of what reality is. And people are like, ooh,
I don't want to think.
I don't want to have an existential crisis here.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah, what's... A lot of people in the theater were probably going, what's that?
Yeah.
In my opinion, that sucked.
apparently, Jim Moore doesn't like Inception,
and that's what people say when they give you their take on the movie. Well, it sucked.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't want to think.
What's that?
Yeah. What's that? Yeah. But best directing this year was Ang Lee for Life of Pi,
and that was the surprise too.
It came out of nowhere. Now I don't know if you read the book.
I didn't read the book.
Okay, it's very dark at the end. Mm-hmm. And just from the previews, I haven't seen the movie, I might be completely wrong, but from the previews, it makes it seem like it's very uplifting, family-oriented. And the end of the book, if you've read the book, I don't want to give away any spoilers, it becomes very dark at the end. There's a lot of symbolism going on. Yeah. And then the main theme is about discerning what story is true. There's multiple stories going on. It's like a story within a story. And all that
like
jazz.
Like Inception.
Like Inception, yeah. It's a book about a guy writing a book.
What's that?
It's a book about a guy writing a book about a guy's story. And
it's Bookception.
It's Bookception. But the end of the book is very dark. Sort of very morbid. And I don't know if the film captured that quality or they just kind of...
Well, it did something. It also won four Oscars.
Yeah.
I think that's the most.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure if you look that up, I think that's the most...
Of this year?
Yeah, of this year.
Yeah, it won for Best Directing. Let me see.
Because it stole a lot of the awards Lincoln was supposed to win.
Achievement in Music Written for a Motion Picture Original Score. It won... Let me see. Oh, and the tie.
Oh, yeah, and we had the first tie in a while.
It didn't tie. That's not the one, but I'm just going through the list. And I saw the tie.
Well, yeah. So, but going back to the Best Director thing...
Right. It won cinematography. Yeah. Sorry.
Really surprising that Spielberg did not win for Lincoln.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
I was reading an article on the Huffington Post that had like percentages.
Right.
You know, who was going to win what. And they had put like, they had put Spielberg at like 92% to win Best Director.
Wow. Well, everyone that I talked to that has seen the movie just has rave reviews about it.
Yeah.
And the fact... I heard they don't even do the assassination in the movie.
No, they don't.
I think that's brilliant because everybody knows the assassination.
Yeah, why cover something that you already know?
Yeah, instead they give you a different perspective of it, which is really cool. I haven't seen the movie yet, and I'm like spoiling it for myself. But.
No offense, but this is a critique I have with superhero reboots like Spider-Man. Like
we the origin already know. Story.
Yeah, like we
well, they rebooted Batman. They did the origin story.
Yes,
but did they ever really do his origin story before?
Right, they never really touched upon it. So okay. I give Batman a pass. You can criticize me on that because I love Batman. But
wait, it's just because it's Christopher Nolan.
Yeah, it's also because don't forget it's also Christopher Nolan. Yeah, don't forget that.
What's that?
It's Christopher Nolan. But with Spider-Man, like I thought one of the I actually liked the Amazing Spider-Man. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah,
but I think they did not need to have the whole
they did it differently Uncle than the other ones. Well, because Uncle Ben is so central to his story.
I know, but like
that's the whole point of why he's Spider-Man.
I suppose.
Like, you can skip the stuff about the radioactive spider and stuff.
Yeah, like we.
But the stuff about
you should start out the premise. Everyone should be on the same boat by now. If we have bought a ticket to see Spider-Man, we have accepted the reality that there is a man who can shoot the webs.
Here's where it should start. It's funny because I'm in grad school right now, and my class last night was about the novella and learning about where your story begins. And they say a lot of people do a lot of throat clearing when they begin a story. They tell you how everything started and how everything came about. Where Spider-Man should start is he has his powers.
Yeah. Just start it with he's got powers.
He has his powers because the other elements, like him being a nerdy high schooler, the Uncle Ben thing, they all happen during and after he gets his powers. So you don't need to say how he got his powers. Just say he is Spider-Man now. And that this event, Uncle Ben shooting, that's when he becomes Spider-Man.
Yeah.
He has the powers. He becomes Spider-Man with Uncle Ben's murder. That's where the story starts.
Yeah. That would have been, I think that would be a great starting point.
You can cut out, and the rest can be told through flashbacks. The rest can be told through dialogue. It doesn't have to be explicit.
Yeah.
It can be implicit. It can be subtle. Stuff like that. Although moviegoers don't like implicit.
sometimes.
But we're sounding pretentious now. We should stop it. I'm sorry. Bad. That was bad. But some of the other big winners, Daniel Day-Lewis for Lincoln. Again,
going back to my percentages,
right?
That was like 97%. There was no chance in hell anybody else was going to win.
Well, I saw Flight and I saw Silver Linings Playbook, and Flight was incredible. It totally caught me off guard. I was flipping through On Demand one night. I was like, oh, what's this with Denzel Washington? I saw a clip of an airplane flying upside down. I was like, oh man, that looks really, really awesome. So I watched the movie. It was really a great performance. And Bradley Cooper, of course, anybody capturing the character of somebody that's going through mental problems, that takes just a great deal of effort. And
not to mention they shot that in Philly. So
woo. Yeah, woo, go Philly. Woo,
prop Phillies.
But such a powerful performance from him as well. I'm glad that Jennifer Lawrence won for Silver Linings Playbook.
Yeah.
She was really good. I don't know if you see it?
Yeah, and she also seems like a real...
Remember when we were talking about the phoniness of Hollywood?
Yeah.
She's real.
Yeah.
She falls.
She falls.
She falls. She jokes about Meryl Streep. She takes it all in stride.
Did you see in the after interview, there's an ABC...
The Jack Nicholson thing?
Yeah. Jack Nicholson just randomly crashes her interview and she doesn't know what to do.
Yeah. He was hitting on her a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. Little Jack bit. Nicholson. He's Jack Nicholson,
Well,
though.
Jack Nicholson is a renegade anyway.
So. Jack Nicholson can do whatever...
He can do whatever he wants.
He can do whatever he wants. That man can do no wrong.
And of course, for original screenplay, you know what? I wonder, can we find a clip of Quentin Tarantino's acceptance speech? Let me see if I can find one.
I don't know if you want to try.
But did you see?
Oh yeah, Jack. Sorry, not for his name. I had my sentence thought out, and then I did not have the subject there. Quentin Tarantino seriously looked high. He was on something.
He looked pretty rough.
And also, when did he turn into like overly egotistical? Like that whole acceptance speech was just him going, I want to thank myself for creating the characters that all the actors
have
to play.
I pulled it up if you want to. I don't know if you want to risk it again.
No, let's have some fun.
Let's have some fun. let's. Ooh.
All right, Mike's got the clip.
Wait, help me out here. It's stuck.
All right, Mike has the clip of Quentin Tarantino during his acceptance speech, winning Best Original Screenplay.
This is going to drive you people crazy.
This year's nominees for Best Screenplay explore political secrecy.
I'm going to skip ahead.
Quentin Tarantino. wasn't expecting this. This is a surprise. Damn. I have a couple groups to thank. One, I have my absolutely magnificent actors. Anybody who wins a screenplay award up here, that means everything went well.
That's the Golden Globes. That's not the Oscars. We have to cut that.
All right, we'll cut that out then.
I didn't even realize it. Son of a bitch. He's holding up the award and I'm going, that's a Golden Globe.
All right, you got it. You got it.
Yeah, yeah, hold on. I'm getting it. I can't believe I just did that. In this category for Pulp
Fiction. That's cool. Charlize is my neighbor. Very nice to get this from you. Thank you, Mr. Hoffman.
Can I intro that again?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. All right, so I have the audio here from Quentin Tarantino's acceptance speech of Best Screenplay in the 2013 Oscars.
Boy, oh boy. You know, I've been saying things like I want to thank the actors for what they've done when it comes to my script. It's not just an easy thing to say. It really is why I'm standing here. I actually think if people are like, knowing about my movies 30 or 50 years from now, it's going to be because of the characters that I created. And I really only got one
All right. Well, there you go. That's the part I wanted to play.
The video, the audio cut out. I don't know why.
That's the part I wanted to play.
But basically, the gist of it is that he says, it's not going to be because of the actors. It's because of the characters that I created and how they were portrayed. And he also says, and props to me for finding the actors.
Yeah.
And of course, Jamie Foxx is nodding like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course, he has to nod because if they cut to him and he's going, what?
Yeah, he should have been like, hey, I played like half your movie.
But here's the thing. You know that I'm a huge Quentin Tarantino fan. Even though he's a horrible, horrible, pretentious, egotistical maniac. He can get away with that because of the quality of his films.
His films are good, but
He himself is a jerk.
Yeah, he needs to take himself down a peg.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, nobody's complaining. They're complaining about Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah, they should complain about him.
Yeah.
I would rather...
Well, what is... You know, I am going to publish that critical article because that's a good point of how Hollywood is phony.
Yeah, Seth
MacFarlane's an outsider, and they defend Quentin Tarantino. They haven't even mentioned. At least not that I heard of.
Yeah, I mean, I would have rather have heard a complaint lodged against Quentin Tarantino than against Seth MacFarlane. You know? So, you know what, Mike? I think you should. I think you should go on the website after we're done, and you should write that article.
I have it written. I just got to go. I got to post it.
Oh, good for you.
Christian Bale also wants you to write that article, apparently.
All right.
Oh, good for you.
Well, if Christian Bale wants me to do it, I guess I got to do it, because I'm Batman.
Yeah, that's right.
it won for Best Original Screenplay, and you didn't see Django Unchained, did you?
No, I didn't get a chance to
see
it.
Phenomenal movie. Definitely deserves to win for screenplay. Not the reasons that Quentin Tarantino said.
No, not that he invented the characters and stuff.
Oh, man, it was just such a good movie. I mean, I think it went down in the record books as the film with the most references to the N-word.
Really?
I think so.
Wow.
When you see the movie, it's literally almost every line.
Wow. Well, I mean, that's how they talked back then,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. Yeah. So what other big winners were there?
I know for Best Supporting Actor.
Yeah,
that was also a little bit of a surprise. They were...
For which one? Because I think Christoph Waltz definitely deserved it for Django Unchained.
Yeah, the favorite was Tommy Lee Jones.
Really?
Yeah. This was supposed to be the year of Lincoln. Was supposed to clean up.
I disagree. I didn't see Lincoln, but Christoph Waltz. I mean, even though Jamie Foxx was the main character, you're sitting there, and the reason you're watching that movie is Christoph Waltz. Yeah. The way that
he usually does whatever role he's in. He's 100%
He has such presence. He commands the screen. It's just incredible.
He's that. I mean, we saw it with Inglourious Basterds.
Oh, I know. It just that completely stole the show. It should be called, instead of Django Unchained, it should be called That Movie with Christoph Waltz in It. Then people would still see it.
Yeah.
I'd still see it because he's a phenomenal actor. Yeah. a point, just a small side note. For me personally, The Simpsons were up for Best Animated Short Film, nominated for Maggie Simpson in The Longest Daycare.
They were nominated for an Oscar?
Yeah, for a short. It's this cute little thing. It's like no dialogue. It's Maggie goes to, do you remember the Ayn Rand School for Tots?
Ayn Rand School for Tots? Yeah. No.
Well, they take, it was in an episode, but they take Maggie there and it goes through her day in that daycare.
Oh my gosh.
It's really funny. It's really sweet. It's this cute little animated short.
It is accomplished.
BioShock.
Yes.
Just for you and Ayn Rand.
Brave by Pixar won Best Animated Film. Like, we didn't know that Pixar was going to win.
Yeah, Pixar wins whenever they're nominated.
And honestly, I didn't think they would, because I heard Brave was good. I saw it. It was very good. It wasn't...
Brave was
it wasn't fun. The same as their other films.
Yeah.
It wasn't groundbreaking.
Brave, it feels like two different movies. Did you see Brave?
Yes.
All right. So, spoiler alert.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
Assuming direct control.
Sorry. I'm taking control of this. The first half of the movie is great. And then when the part where the mom turns into the bear, it just seems like a completely different movie, and then I lose interest in it.
Yeah, it's...
like, it just goes off the rails for me after that part.
I don't really remember it that well, but it didn't... for me, it didn't capture the same... this is going to be weird because the whole movie is about magic, but it didn't capture the same magical quality of the other Pixar movies.
Yeah.
When you watch something like The Incredibles is my personal favorite. It's so different. It's so fresh and unique. Brave was more of it was a folk tale.
Yeah,
it was,
and that
much
turns
more
into a weird,
yeah,
mother daughter bonding over bears.
We've seen lots of folk tales, but we've never seen anything like WALL-E. We've never seen anything like Up. So I think it doesn't capture.
Up, man. I always forget about Up.
That opening scene
that makes you cry.
Yeah, it really. I don't care who you are, you're gonna shed a tear, at least a tear during that opening scene.
Yeah.
So that
That's
was.
All I got to say. Makes me want to puke.
Oh, apparently Mike Gundy pukes.
How could you puke at a beautiful movie like that?
That's all I got to say. Makes me want to puke.
Les Mis won a couple of sound awards, and Anne Hathaway won for Best Supporting Actress.
Yeah, there wasn't a surprise there.
No. I love Les Mis. That was when I really... that's when it like dawned on me, the idea of musicals. When I was in high school, I was part of the tech crew for the drama program with the performances and the musicals. It wasn't until Les Mis, though, that I really, like, it just clicked. It was like this, that's like my favorite musical.
I still can't believe our high school put Les Mis on.
And we pulled it off.
Yeah, you guys, yeah.
We pulled it off. But the one song that I never really, I always knew it was sad, and I always appreciated it and whatnot. But when she sang I Dreamed a Dream in the movie, it was the first time that I quote-unquote heard the lyrics, you know.
Yeah. A lot of people have been having that experience.
Yeah, because it's always one of the ones that I skip over. But when I heard her singing, it was like, whoa. Like, it finally...
clicked.
Yeah.
Yeah,
not that it didn't click before, but it was like a whole new epiphany.
Uh-huh.
But,
it eventually happens when you listen to a song over and over again, you find that hidden meaning that hidden...
I don't know if you truth. Listen to Les Mis a lot, but...
no, I listen to Phantom of the Opera a lot. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, those are the two big ones, in my opinion, are Phantom of the Opera and Les Mis. I mean, nothing compares. People say Cats is another big one, but that's mm-hmm. weird.
Yeah.
And I personally like Jesus Christ Superstar, but that's just me.
Boy, you're really into Andrew Lloyd Webber then.
Yeah, right? I like his rock twist to the whole musical thing.
Yeah.
Thing.
The thing.
Yes. But those are the major, those are the major awards. I have to remember to keep talking into my microphone when I'm scrolling through my computer here.
The other thing that they tried to do at the Oscars was a 50-year tribute to James Bond.
Right.
Unfortunately, the original plan was trying to get all six Bonds together.
Yeah, what happened there?
For I know Sean Connery didn't do it. Sean Connery doesn't really like to.
What a jerk.
Yeah. No, I mean, they left on bad terms. Him and the Eon
right.
produced films. So that didn't surprise me that he wasn't going to be a part of it. The surprising douchebag,
if we want to give an award to that, the surprising douchebag
goes to Pierce Brosnan. Apparently he also turned it down.
Wow.
The only
ones that appreciate it are the ones that aren't lauded as great James Bonds. Because those are the two that they say are the best, normally, in most conversations, right?
Sometimes I think Timothy Dalton's up there.
Yeah, but everybody says, oh, Sean Connery.
Yeah, Sean Connery's always, yeah, Sean
Connery's
always.
Usually there. People say Pierce Brosnan is like the next one.
So, I don't know. I think Daniel Craig is also up there too.
Yeah, yeah.
Daniel Craig really has been nailing these out of the park.
Yeah.
The only bad one has been Quantum of Solace. That's the only bad one he's been in.
And I don't even remember them. I haven't seen the latest one. I don't really recall the last two.
Well, Quantum of Solace,
not good.
Don't worry about it. But Skyfall.
I heard Skyfall is really. They say it's not like a typical action.
No, it's
movie.
Not. It's not. It's not. Look, actually, this is the best thing I've heard about it, and
I'm quoting Red Letter Media again. I really love those guys. I'm sorry.
But they had the best review of it. The first third is your traditional Bond movie. The second third is like introducing the villain, and the last third is something that we've never seen in a Bond film, because it goes away from the gadgets. It goes away from the actual spy-ness.
Is it more like character driven?
Yeah, it turns into who James Bond is and who M is. M is the boss of James Bond.
Yeah.
And the last half of that movie is carried by M, 007, and the villain. That's it. There's nobody else. There's no Bond girl. There's no.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
There's no secret organization.
I think that's what that franchise needs.
Yeah,
I think that's
it was really good.
I think that's the reason why I don't really watch a lot of Bond films, is because they follow that formula so often.
Yeah, you usually can point out a pattern that's going to happen. But Skyfall deviates from it, and it's amazing.
So I have a lot of movies on my must-watch list.
And Adele won an Oscar for that amazing theme song, which I think might be the best Bond theme
ever. That was good. Better than what was it, Goldfinger, that lady sang?
I would put... All right.
Whoever that was singing, I don't remember her name, but that was rough.
I would put, you know, it depends on, technically the actual 007 theme song is the theme of Dr. No. So I don't know where you want to classify that. If you want to count that as an actual theme song, then that's number one. Then I would go with Goldfinger. The theme for Goldfinger is iconic. Everyone has made fun of that song. We know the Simpsons have made fun of that song. Max Power.
Yeah.
He's the man whose name you mustn't touch, but you cannot touch, or you want to touch, but he cannot touch, or whatever. That ridiculous parody.
Classic Simpsons.
Yeah. Max Power. Then I think third, you could put Skyfall on that. That song is, first of all, sung brilliantly.
Adele is an amazing artist.
Adele's an amazing singer. And the lyrics also set the mood for that film. Because when they show you the Bond theme and the Bond intro and the Bond... there's a word for it. The intro credits...
Right.
They have like that artistic kind of thing that they show while they're showing the credits.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a word for it, and I forget what you call it now off the top of my head.
We understand what you're getting at.
Yeah. It's just, it sets the tone for Skyfall. You know, you know what you're in for. You know the type of ride you're in for.
Wow.
So I would put, Skyfall's up there.
Well, that's another one from my must-watch list. I have a big list going on.
Definitely check that out.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that wasn't even nominated for Best Picture. There was 9 nominees for Best Picture.
Yeah.
They couldn't put one to make it an even 10. Really?
I know. Really? It was Amour, Argo, Beasts of the Southern Wild, Django Unchained, Les Mis, Life of Pi, Lincoln, Silver Linings Playbook, and Zero Dark Thirty. all of those. I want to see all those with the exception of Amore. I didn't really... I don't know enough about it, and the clips that they showed.
I agree with Seth MacFarlane. That looks like this is 90 or whatever that joke was. That movie should be called This Is 90.
Yeah. I also saw Beasts of the Southern Wild.
You did? You saw that?
Yeah.
How was it?
It was really good. It was surreal. It has like a a non-traditional storytelling method where a lot of it is told through the narration of the young girl. Yeah. I'm going to mess her name up now. In the movie, her name is Hush Puppy, but her name in real life is Quvenzhané Wallace. She was 6 when she shot the movie.
What's that?
Really, what's that? Quvenzhané Wallace. She was 6 when she shot the movie, and it's so dramatic. It's not like Little Rascals, where they're little kids, but they're just running around, joking around. This was like a very heavy drama.
Wow.
And she pulled it off. She didn't have a lot of dialogue in the film. A lot of it was voiceover narration. But it was really cool. Very surreal. Very philosophical. The recurring line through the movie is she goes, when I'm gone, all the scientists will remember that once there was a hush puppy who lived with her daddy in the bathtub. Wow. The bathtub meaning the bayou of Louisiana.
Oh.
It's just...
Sounds like it could be interesting.
Yeah. I'll
have to check that out.
Yeah, it definitely is. But there is some sad news regarding that story. I don't know if you want to touch on this.
I think we can mention it.
We take a lot of inspiration here on the Crispy Noodle from The Onion, a popular satire site that does a lot of great work. Unfortunately, when it comes to their coverage of the Oscars, they had a situation that completely overshadowed all the other news when they tweeted something very offensive about that young star we just mentioned, Quvenzhané Wallace. They said, I'm not going to read the exact quote because of the derogatory nature of it, but basically they called her a C word that rhymes with punt.
Good way to get that, to get the word across. Good job.
On Twitter.
Yeah, that's completely unacceptable. I don't know.
I don't know why they would feel like the tweet with the expletive removed is everyone else seems afraid to say it, but that Quvenzhané Wallace is kind of a bleep, right?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Hashtag Oscars 2013.
I don't know who thought that would have been funny.
Yeah.
Like that.
Completely offensive and uncalled for.
Like, seriously.
She's 9.
There's like one rule in all of satire. Don't go after little girls.
And she's 9.
Yeah. Why would you go after a little girl? I don't know.
Completely uncalled for.
Yeah. And it doesn't surprise me that they had to issue an apology and fire the writer who...
Yeah. Well, how could you not?
Yeah. So...
It's just very sad news. She had such a great performance. She didn't do anything to anyone.
Yeah, she didn't do anything.
She's a 9-year-old caught up in the...
It's not like she's Lindsay Lohan here, like...
Yeah. Yeah, you know, there are people that deserve to be made fun of.
Yeah.
Not to that nature. She did nothing to be made fun of. And then, instead of making fun of her, they just go straight for the most derogatory term you could possibly imagine.
I think whoever wrote that tweet was thinking he's going to get a shock jock laugh or something.
No. No.
And, yeah, that's not cool.
Yeah. There's a difference between shock and just senseless offensiveness.
Yeah. That wasn't what I wanted.
You know, there's not much more to say about it other than just bringing it up. I just completely shocked.
Yeah. It's a shame that that had to get published.
And it's so unfortunate for her, too, because I don't know if she understands what's going on, but,
yeah,
you know.
Shame.
Yeah.
All right, do we want to go into our next segment?
Well,
or is there any other Oscar news that you want to talk about? Or
got it? I think that pretty much wraps up the Oscars.
All right.
So, you know, you finish off any great meal.
Oh, wait. Before we do that, I have a shout out. I have to do
okay.
a shout out.
Okay. Oh, shout out. That's right.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
All right. So before we get into the next segment, I want to do just a quick little shout out here. I want to say happy birthday to my cousin Jeff. We had a little surprise party for him over the weekend in Conshohocken. And it was a lot of fun. He turned 40 in January, and it was a lot of fun. Little surprise party for him.
Come after me! I'm a man. I'm 40. I'm not a kid.
So there you go, Jeff. Me and Mike Gundy want to salute you for turning 40. Congratulations.
Come after. after me. I'm a man. I'm 40. I'm not a kid.
Happy birthday, Jeff.
Happy birthday from me as well, even though you don't know me.
I'm sure he's probably seen you at like my graduation party or something. Or...
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, one of the...
That was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Now I'm feeling old.
But anyway, so there you go. Happy birthday, Jeff.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40. I'm not a kid.
All right, and now with that, we've had our appetizer with the sports sampler. We've had our main course with the entertainment entree.
Yum.
So now we need a little bit of a dessert. A little bit of a dessert treat.
And a little bit of a treat. Crispy noodles, you normally get them from Chinese restaurants, I guess.
Yes.
So what's the dessert for Chinese food, Rich?
The non-fortune cookie.
The non-fortune cookie, yes. Woo! This is our odd
what
news.
Where are we at in society today?
All right. The unfortunate cookie is our odd news segment. We like to play up the unfortune of these poor, poor souls that we are about to make fun of.
All right, and this time Mike has three stories he wants to read. So now this is my genuine reaction to them. So
all right, so let's get started. Let's do this one first.
All right, go for it, Mike.
A man was arrested after calling 911. 9 times trying to order a cheeseburger.
He must have really wanted that cheeseburger badly.
An Indiana man got the attention of local police after he tried to order a cheeseburger by calling 911 9 times. 52-year-old Gregory Jackson Sr. has reportedly had past run-ins with police. But this may be the most bizarre. Jackson reportedly made the 9 phone calls in just 90 minutes.
Geez, that's a call to every 10 minutes.
Yeah. Eventually, Newcastle, Indiana police showed up at Jackson's home and arrested him. Finally, the dispatcher sent police to Jackson's residence. Though, despite the series of strange calls, the dispatcher was reportedly concerned Jackson was calling because he hadn't eaten food in a long time.
he was hungry!
Yes. A partial transcript of the exchange between Jackson and the 911 dispatcher who spoke with him, according to WISH-TV. Dispatcher. Do you have an emergency, sir? Because you dial 911. Jackson, I dial 911.
Yeah!
What's that?
Dispatcher, yeah, you dialed 911. Dispatcher, okay, so why did you call 911? For what do you need? Dispatcher, do you have an emergency? Jackson, a cheeseburger.
Just straight Wait. Up cheeseburger.
Dispatcher, have a good day. Just hangs up on him, I guess. Jackson then called back into the emergency phone line. Dispatcher, 911, your emergency. Jackson, yes, I just spoke with you. You hung up on me. Dispatcher, well, I asked if you had an emergency. You said no, you needed a cheeseburger, so we don't take cheeseburger orders. And still Jackson calls back demanding a cheeseburger from the dispatcher. Dispatcher, you know, if you give me some information, maybe we can try and help you out. And finally, the dispatcher was on the phone with Jackson when the authorities arrived on the scene. Dispatcher, you hear them knocking? Jackson, yes.
What the heck?
The police did not arrive with cheeseburgers in hand. They have yet to charge Jackson over the series of 911 calls. Instead, they arrested him on a separate outstanding warrant for failing to show up to an appointed court date regarding a separate charge.
Wow.
9 times.
9 times.
He really, really wanted a cheeseburger.
Very hungry.
I get maybe like once or twice. If he's like not in the right state of mind.
No. He needed that cheeseburger immediately ASAP.
9 times in 90 minutes.
Wonder what he would have wanted for like a buffet dinner.
Yeah.
I need an ambulance to get me to King's Buffet, stat!
Right away. This is an emergency. I'm running low on Chinese food.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. So should I move on to the next
one? Yeah, let's see what else you got,
Mike. All right. Florida man shot by his dog. A Florida man was shot and wounded over the weekend by his dog, who walked away without charges, police said.
What? the dog shot the man. Why is he not persecuted to the fullest extent of the law? I don't know.
They had to specify that they weren't charging the dog.
Yes.
Gregory Dale Lanier, 35, of Frostproof, Florida, told police Saturday that he and his dog were in their truck in nearby Sebring when the dog kicked a gun that was on the truck's floor.
Wow, he kicked it?
Yeah. The gun went off, shooting Lanier in the leg. Lanier wasn't seriously injured, said Sebring Police Commander Steve Carr, who actually said police didn't arrest the dog because the investigation was pending.
They could arrest the dog?
I don't know, but he actually said that they didn't arrest him because the investigation was pending.
I didn't know you could arrest a dog.
I guess. Well,
if you could put them to the pound. But
well, they have to get the proof and the evidence, Rich.
Yes, very important.
Yes.
This is very important stuff.
He also said he never heard of a similar case. According to the police report, Lanier said he was driving along State Route 17 North when the dog kicked the unloaded 380 pistol. It went on to say that Lanier was surprised to learn not only that the gun was loaded, but also that it was actually a 9mm weapon, not a 380. The incident is only the latest in a string of bizarre shootings in Florida. Just last week, a woman in St. Petersburg was wounded when she was shot by a friend's oven.
Wow. Oh, that's going to correlate because I got a story from Florida when you're done.
Florida has a lot of good stories.
What the hell's going on in Florida?
Yeah. So the dog just kicks the gun and shot him in the leg.
Wow.
Could you imagine being the police officer on that case?
We got a canine on the loose.
Wanted for shooting his owner.
Yep.
The dogs are rising up against us.
The dog is armed and dangerous.
Yeah, they said they weren't charging him yet because the investigation was pending. I don't know what other investigation they have to conduct.
Yeah, for animals with guns.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we'll still need giant guns and lots of them. Believe it or not, this damn gun still needs calibrating.
That gun didn't need calibrating.
Yeah, apparently. Where's Garrus when we needed him?
Yeah, exactly. I'm in the middle of some calibrations.
Yeah, obviously.
Can it wait for a bit? I'm in the middle of some calibrations.
All right. Next. Oh, you got something else?
Yeah, this might be the reason that the dog shot him.
You know what the problem is? You're impossible to work for. You've been riding me for years.
That's the same guy.
That's the same guy.
To me, it doesn't sound like the same guy, but it is.
No, it doesn't. That's strange.
Apparently, when that voice actor, I forget his name, but when he has to do like an Al Pacino kind of a scream, his voice gets higher.
That's weird.
Yeah, it sounds like he's got a case of me.
I got a case of the rich.
Yeah, you got a case of Rich Liebig, apparently, because, you know, when I try and do Al Pacino, my voice gets higher, you know?
You're not going to do it now, are you?
I don't know. Do you want me to?
Yeah, if you think you could try it.
Let me think of something good.
Do the SNL one where they're at the ice cream place. Do you know any lines from that?
Bobby, there's so many choices for ice cream. What you gonna do?
I don't know.
I sound more like Hulk Hogan.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I can't do Robert De Niro. Yeah.
I would rather have gone with something from like
do the Frank Caliendo skit.
I don't want to do Frank. I would have here's something I could do. This whole trial is out of order. This whole court system is out of order. My client is guilty. The son of a bitch. He should go right to jail.
What's that one? He's an absentee landlord.
That's Devil's Advocate. Devil's Advocate. That's a great one.
Yeah. I actually haven't seen that movie. I just know it from all the sound clips you play.
That's a good one. You should watch that. Add that to your list.
Yeah, I have an ever-growing list of must-watch movies.
Right. That's a good one.
The last story that I have is a Maine man can whistle, but he must keep moving.
What?
A man charged with disorderly conduct for his loud whistling in downtown Portland has reached a deal with the city. He can whistle, but he can't linger in one spot. Robert Smith of Westbrook has been cited by police twice in the past year after businesses complained. He pleaded guilty last summer and reached a deal with the city in which he can keep whistling as long as he's moving. Smith maintains that his whistling, audible a block away, is protected free speech and usually brings smiles.
Usually brings smiles. Yeah.
God is showing me what I'm doing is okay, he told the Portland Press Herald. He shows me every day with laughter. But
if I hit like 65% of my whistles, that's the majority of people being happy while I whistle, so that's good.
There you go, yeah. But downtown businesses have complained about the 32-year-old Smith's never-ending noisemaking. Janice Beetzer of Portland Downtown District understands why some business owners are upset. Just like if somebody plays an instrument in front of your business or has the radio on constantly, it's
irritating. That must be him. That must be him.
That damn phone.
Yeah.
He's whistling up to us right now.
Yeah, he heard us talking. Smith said he works a construction job during the summer.
Assuming direct control.
Well, this segment's completely
it's
derailed.
It's all Harbinger.
Though. Yeah. But when he's not working, he usually takes a bus into Portland and walks downtown streets from about 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. What? Why are you walking the streets from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. wearing a baseball cap, wraparound sunglasses, and a backpack while listening to classic rock and oldies through his headphones?
Oh, that's good. He's got good taste then.
Yeah. As he walks the streets, some people laugh and smile, but others scowl or roll their eyes in disgust, making rude comments after... I can't believe they devoted this long of an article to a guy whistling.
This guy.
I just want to say that right now.
Yeah.
In a... Oh my God, you just scared me.
That's what he thinks he's doing.
Should we get the my odd news?
Yeah.
All right.
There's more to the story, but...
Oh, all right. I'm sorry.
You want me to finish or no?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. In a plea agreement last summer, Smith pleaded guilty to disorderly conduct and agreed to no longer whistle while standing in one place. As long as he's walking while he whistles, authorities agreed not to bother him. The prosecutor, Trish McAllister, disagreed that Smith's whistling is protected by the First Amendment. A Portland city ordinance says whistling, hooting, and other unnecessary noises that, quote, annoy, disturb, or injure the health, peace, or safety of others are forms of disorderly conduct. The judge said, I viewed this as a behavioral issue, she said. Smith was aggressive. He would follow people who gave him a wrong look.
Oh, wow.
Too aggressive. But it's whistling.
Yeah, just whistling, but aggressive whistling.
How does aggressive whistling sound? I'm mad at you. I can't even whistle right now. I don't know. But you could hear the whistling from a block away.
Yeah, that's pretty loud.
That's loud.
I don't know.
Whistle go whoop whoop.
Yeah, the whistles go whoop whoop.
Do you have that?
No, I don't have that one. The whistles go whoop whoop. All right, here's my stories.
All right.
All right. An 80-year-old decided to slice his neighbor with a rusty machete because he was worried about a dying tree that might fall on his fence. Alfred Hunton, who is 80, accused of slicing 57-year-old Michael Schultz. He was said to have flown into a rage amid fears over that Schultz's dead trees would land on his fence. Police in Florida say that they actually heard Hawkton say, I'm going to kill you, to Mr. Michael Schultz, which isn't a good sign to prove your innocence.
No.
He kicked Schultz in the knee and then swung his machete, nicking Schultz in the arm twice with deep cuts. Alfred Hawkton is facing charges of aggravated battery with a deadly weapon. And not to get into politics, but Hawkton claimed that he was acting in self-defense, citing the controversial Stand Your Ground law. So okay. He might actually have a little bit of a legal precedence if he can use that
machete?
To defend him. Yeah, a machete, though. Where do you get a machete from?
But wait, why? How is it?
Yeah, go figure.
Anyway. So I just never heard of anyone being afraid that a tree would fall under their... What was it? His fence or just his
fence? His fence. He did not want the tree to fall under his fence, so he decided to pull out his trusty old machete.
Because that's going to stop the tree from falling down.
Yes.
By cutting the guy that would take care of it, you will prevent the tree from falling down. Does anyone see a disconnect in the logic?
You couldn't take that rusty machete and actually cut the tree down yourself.
If I mortally wound you and you won't be able to tend to your tree, it'll probably fall down sooner than if I just not cut you with a machete.
Yeah, that probably would have been helpful.
Yeah. Anyway, well, that's why it's odd news, folks.
Yep, that's why we do this.
Because if they followed logic, it wouldn't be fun.
Yeah. And I got one more for you.
All right.
A female motorist had to call the fire brigade. I'm sorry, it's been a long day.
Yeah.
Assuming direct control.
The Reapers are out to get me.
A female motorist had to call out the fire brigade after trapping her hand in her car's glove box.
What?
She had tried to fish something out of her glove compartment when her wrist got jammed into the glove compartment.
It opens. I'm just confused. How do you... Anyway.
Yep, her wrist got jammed and she was unable to free herself. So fire crews were called to the 49-year-old Stockport home to remove the woman's watch so that she could free her hand from it. She suffered slight bruising and soreness. She wasn't able to move her hand, either to push it in or pull it out. There was a man...
That's what she said.
Oh, hey-o!
Ba-dum-tsh. Yeah. there was a man there with her, and he tried for a long time to no avail, so they had no other option but to call the fire brigade. As soon as the watch came off, it was fine, but they were a little embarrassed. You know. We don't train for something exactly like this, but we always will be able to get people free somehow. Well, that's a good attitude to have from the fire brigade.
That's a good attitude.
And there you go. That's what I have for
news. How did she get it wedged in the glove compartment so that she couldn't get her hand out?
Apparently,
was it like stuck between like two objects or?
Apparently the main problem was her watch.
Yeah, but I mean, at least the glove compartments on my car it's pretty big. I mean, like, how big is your wrist? Like, are you talking like a wrist like the size of a watermelon or something?
Yeah, it must have been or something.
Unless there was like a lot of stuff in there, maybe like it got
that
caught
too,
on something.
Maybe she, yeah, maybe she had a big watch on too.
How big of a watch?
A Super Bowl watch.
That doesn't make any sense.
What? A Super Bowl watch?
Yeah.
Yeah, they make those Super Bowl watches, you know?
Yeah, you know, yeah.
They're worth like $200,000.
Yeah, and, yeah. Yeah, sure. Whatever.
It has the team logo, and when it's 12 o'clock, it'll play your team's chant. I don't know.
That'd be an annoying watch.
Yeah.
Every 12 hours, fly, Eagles, fly.
So there you go. That's what we have for the odd news for today.
All right. That was good. That was
good
stuff.
I think that's a sign we need to wrap this episode up.
Yeah, we've already gone over
between everything that went wrong on this episode.
Yeah.
But
those Reapers. Play it again, Rich.
Yeah.
Assuming direct control.
Yeah. It's all the Reapers' fault.
Yeah.
But anyway, thank you for listening to our mistake-filled podcast.
Yes. And remember, you can follow us on Twitter at The Crispy Noodle. You can find us on Facebook at The Crispy Noodle. And you can find us online at www.thecrispynoodle.com.
Yep, you definitely need to check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Yes.
We've got a lot of fun articles on there.
Great articles. I'm going to post my critical article about the Oscars, a little bit about what we talked about in the episode. And we'll have a lot of other great features coming up. We have some interesting things planned that we don't want to reveal yet, but you will be pleasantly surprised.
Oh, good for you.
Yep, there you go.
No, not good for us. Good for Noodle Nation.
Yeah, good for the Noodle Nation. That's what it's all about. And if you want to follow us on Twitter, I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig.
And I am at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
All right. I think that will do it for this.
That's it.
That'll do it for this mistake-filled podcast. But it was a lot of fun.
Yes, it was.
Assuming direct control.
And yeah, if nothing else, you know what that means now.
Yep.
Anytime we make a mistake, it's the Reaper's fault.
That's right. Do you want to play our clip?
Yep. All right. For us, it has been a good show. And we'll see you guys next week.
I am Michael Costanzo.
I am Rich Liebig.
And we are The Crispy Noodle.
Yep, we are the Crispy Noodle. Let us be the crispy noodle in the vegetarian salad of life.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Good times,
noodle salad. Jack Nicholson can hit on anybody he wants to, as far as I'm concerned, after that Oscars.
Well, we will see you, not see you, but we will talk at you next week.
We'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you. Well, they're not talking, but.
Talk. We'll discussing.
Okay. Yes. You will listen to us next week.
Yes. All right. See you guys next week.
Next week. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Good times, noodle salad.